All right. Hey, can we give the band a hand? Thank them for helping us today. Did a great job. Thank you, Nate. And Samantha, we're calling this Samantha Sunday because Samantha's in charge of like everything today. So it's good to see you guys. My name's Josh. It's great to see you guys. Happy, what do you call this? Happy Sunday before 4th of July. I don't know what this is. But it's good to be with you. Last weekend, I wasn't here, and Pastor Tony did a great job preaching last Sunday. He's on vacation this week, so we can't really thank him for that, but he did a great job. When you see him, tell him that. He didn't make up too many words, so that's a good thing. So last Sunday, I was at my dad's church. My dad's a pastor in the Grand Rapids area, and I was had the privilege of being at his church with my whole family. We were celebrating my mom and dad's 50th wedding anniversary, and it was an awesome time. I have a brother who's a pastor. It's kind of like, you know, my other brother, Daryl, kind of thing. It's like all of us involved in ministry. And my brother got to preach, and I got to do some things in the service. And I'm just telling you, there's no place like home. Like, every church has its own personality, and I love our church, all right? I love being back home and being here. It's awesome. Yeah. We are doing something. On the way in today, they were handing out some bracelets, these white bracelets, and it's something we're doing that's like a three-year-long initiative, and it's called Each One, Reach One. And we feel like as a church, as an elder team, we took some time to pray and say, God, where do you want us to focus for the next couple of years? And we said, God, if you could help us, like if we could look back 3 years from now, if we could be 3 years down the road and look back, and if we could see that God has used us as a church to reach people and to love people in our community, then that would be a success, right, church? That if we could look back, but if we're just huddled in our own little place and just doing our own thing and not loving those around us, that would not be a success for us. God has called us to tell other people about his love. So it's called Each One, Reach One. And so we're handing out these little bracelets. We'd love to have you take one. There's adult sizes and youth sizes. I'm wearing a youth size because I have like baby wrists. So it's a reminder to me, a daily reminder to me, of what God has called me to do, which is to not just think about myself, but to think about those around me, and to love them, and to tell them about God's love. And that's what we're here for, right, church? That's why we exist. That's why we're doing a parade thing today, and that's why we set up and tear down in a school. And that song gets me every time, that song, Even So Come, talking about the return of Christ. And I have no idea if you think about that or if you pray for that or long for that, but I want to encourage you to long for the return of Christ. That what we experience here is fun, but it's nothing compared to what we experience in the presence of Jesus. And so I know you might have some life you want to live, and you know I've got some time I want to still live as well, but I just know that that's better than this. And so I long for that. I pray for that. Our world needs that. And until then, we will continue to tell people about Jesus. All right. That's kind of like all the intro to my message. I just want to encourage you guys, keep inviting, keep bringing people. You guys are doing that, and we're seeing people's lives being impacted. It's awesome. You guys are doing a great job. So here's the deal. This is the last week of our series called Neighbors. It's about loving those around us. We have our messages and series planned out long ways in advance. In fact, I've been working this week on the next 6 months, and I've been working on some of our Christmas stuff, as crazy as that sounds. So we've got some fun stuff coming for that, but it's not quite even July, so we won't talk about Christmas too much. So we have these outlines planned, these series, you know, this kind of stuff, but every once in a while, not very often, but every once in a while, God does something that freaks me out, and he says, Josh, I want you to preach something different than what you had planned. And I'm a planner, and I hate it when he does that. I hate that. It freaks me out big time. And so I was mowing the grass Thursday night. Message and everything was already done and ready to go. And I was mowing my grass, and I just had this very strong sense that God wanted me to go a slightly different direction with the message for today. So it's still about loving people. It's still about neighbors. It's still about all of that. But we're not going to have any slides. Well, we are going to have some scripture slides, but if you follow along in YouVersion, just throw that out. You're not going to be there. In fact, I would just encourage you, if devices, anything like, just set them down for a little while and just give me, if you would, just give me your undivided attention for just a few minutes. Because I figured if God is telling me to say something and do something, I probably better do it, right? Pretty good call on that. Go with what I think I should do with what I think God thinks we should do. So I just want to dive into that for a little bit. So here's the deal. This series has been awesome. We're learning about what it means to love those around us, love our neighbors. And by neighbor, that can be anybody. We're learning what it means to, what love is and how do we love. And last week, Pastor Tony talked about who we love. So here's the passage. It's going to be on the screen. And then I'll kind of share with you why this is such a big deal. So John 17, let me read to just a few verses. And this is the heart of what I want to talk about. This is just to give you context. This is Jesus. This is the longest recorded prayer that Jesus had. Jesus prayed for, it's a couple chapters long in the end of the book of John. And John, this is the prayer that Jesus prays toward the end of his life. He knows that the end is coming. So he's praying some really important things. And he prays for his disciples. He prays for what's going to happen. And then, I don't know if you knew this or not, but he prays for you and I. And here's what he says. I want us to pay so close attention to what he's saying. John 17, verse 20. Jesus says, I am praying not only for those, not only for these disciples, talking about the ones that were with him, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's you and I. I pray that they will be one, just as you are and I are one, and as you are in me. Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I've given you the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. Here's the part I want you to focus on. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love me, love them as much as you love me. So I don't know if you caught what he said there at the end. We can put that verse, leave that last part up there. This is what he says. He says, may they experience such perfect unity, talking about believers, that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So what he is saying is that he's praying for the church, he's praying for believers. I want there to be a love and unity amongst believers. And when that happens, the world will know that God sent Jesus for us. Does that make sense? So Jesus is saying that the way that we function and love each other as a group of Christians has an effect and impact on our outreach to those outside of the faith. Make sense? And this is a big enough deal that 2,000 years ago, Jesus prayed that this would be true. So what I'm getting at is if there's, here's a couple of questions for us. Here's what was on my heart Thursday night as I was mowing my dead grass. How can we love those across the street if we can't love those across the hall in our own homes? And how can we love those who don't know Jesus if we can't love those who do know Jesus? And how can we love those with different last names if we can't love those with the same last name? And how can we love those we work with if we can't work with those that we say we love? And how can we love those that we don't know if we can't love those that we do know? A lot of challenging questions there, but the idea is that if we can't love those that we know and that we work with and that we are following Jesus with, maybe it's at this church, maybe it's another church, maybe it's just in general, if we can't love those people, if husbands can't love wives, if parents can't love kids and kids can't love parents, how then can we possibly love those outside of those who have a relationship with God and those that we don't know? Does that make sense? If we can't love the ones we do know, how can we love those that we don't know? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5. He said, you've heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. But I say, if you are even angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court, which I thought that was interesting. If you called somebody a name, you got hauled in front of the religious leaders. I thought that was interesting. Maybe only me. Okay. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. He says, first go and be reconciled, and then come and worship. And I would also add, first go and be reconciled, then focus on reaching out to those outside of the faith. I don't know if, I'm sure this is the same for you guys. So our house, There's five of us, and we have the four of them are girls. Well, my wife, and then we have three daughters. So I'm the only guy in our house. But what that means is that we have a lot of clogged drains in our house from hair. We got three girls, you know, hair everywhere in the bathroom, and then my wife, and they do a great job keeping that cleaned up. But every few months, I don't know if this happens with your house or your drains, but the drains, they start draining slower and slower. Does that make sense? Am I speaking anybody's language? Okay. So, yeah, amen. So I, you know, the drains clog up, and then I've got this really long rod that's like an infomercial kind of tool. Anybody have this plastic tool with like the teeth on it? Okay. Is it called a Zip-It? What is it called? Okay. All right. So we have one of those. My wife, anyway, we have one of those. So anyway, we have to clean out the drains. Quick question. Talking about this is going to be gross for a few seconds, but then it'll make sense. If we leave the drains the way that they are and don't clean them out, what happens? It gets worse. Is it going to get better on its own? No. So it's just going to keep getting worse and worse. Eventually, there will be no water flowing through the drain at all, right? So in order to get it to flow better and to work better, what do you have to do? You got to clean it out. And so I take this little, it's called Zip-It, I guess. I just learned it's called Zip-It. It's like this little long plastic stick, and it's got some jagged edges on it. You stick that as far down in the drain as you can, and you pull it back out. And then you have a present on the end of it or all along it. It's all the gunk, it's all the hair, it's all the stuff that you're trying to flush away down the drain and get rid of, and it's just clogging the drain. So you have to do this, it smells like poo, right? It just smells horrible, smells like waste. And you just keep pulling it out, you get the hair clumps, you got like, you know, you brush your teeth, it's like all that stuff in there, and it's stuff that's been growing there for a while. You're welcome. Let's go eat lunch. But the idea is that in order for the water to flow, in order for the drain to be unclogged, you have to sometimes pull out the junk and free up whatever's clogging that. And I think there is a huge spiritual truth that is I know important for my life, but if I have unresolved issues with people in my life, that is a huge clog in the love drain that God has on our lives. We can't love other people and those around us. If we've got those things there, we have to deal with them. They don't go away on their own. We're called. See, what Jesus says in these verses is that can even hinder our worship of God. If you're sitting here trying to worship God and you've got unresolved issues with people, that will even hinder your ability to worship God. So we're talking about, you know, being reconciled, being made right with other people around us. Same thing, I'm going to go even deeper. If you have a clogged toilet, does it unclog on its own? You can keep flushing as much as you want. You can keep putting as much toilet paper in there as you want. It doesn't go away, does it? You have to get out the plunger, and you have to go to town. It gets a little messy, may splash on you, and it's kind of gross. But you have to deal with it. And then let me just kind of bring it full circle. Once you clean out the drain, it's like, oh, the water goes down so nicely. Once you clean out the toilet, the water just flows. Okay, we're done talking about that. So we got people leaving. We're talking about bad stuff. But you guys understand. You guys understand. So this is a very simple message. It is impossible for us to talk about loving our neighbors and those outside when we aren't able to love those around us. So this is a message about making sure that we're loving one another well. If there's animosity in your heart or jealousy or hurt toward another person or toward another church or toward another Christian or toward a coworker or toward a family, whatever it is, if there's those things, that's going to get in the way. And I believe God's calling us to deal with those. So let me just give you a couple practical things that we're going to talk about. I think these are some practical things that Scripture calls us to do, and I want to encourage you to do them. These are not on the screen. You can jot them down or you can just listen. But the first thing that Scripture calls us to do is to go and to be reconciled. To go and to be reconciled. And what that means, that term reconciled, if you think about like a banking term, you think about reconciling your checkbook. I don't know if people use checkbooks anymore. But when you take your checkbook registry and you match that up with your bank statement, it's called reconciling it. You have to make sure that all the entries are the same, that it's all even. You don't want to have more money or less money in one than the other. They want to match, right? So think about relationally. If there's imbalances in relationships where maybe there's someone who has something against you or you have something against somebody else and it hasn't been dealt with, that's an unreconciled relationship. So what we're called to do biblically, we have two options. We're talking about this. I'm part of a couple of men's accountability groups. We were talking about this a few weeks ago. The Bible gives us two possibilities. If you've been hurt by somebody or if you've hurt somebody, you have two options. You either reconcile or you let it go. There's no third option. If it's a big enough deal that you're not willing to let it go, you're called to love that person enough and go and talk to them about it. There's no third option of saying, I'm going to hang on to it, but not go talk to them about it. Does that make sense? The two options, again, church, what are they? Either go talk to them about it or let it go. You go talk to that person, not somebody else, about it. There's no third option. So if you've got something there that you're hanging on to from a past experience or maybe a current relationship, we're called to deal with it. Think about that as the junk in your drain. Okay, we got to drag it out. We got to talk about it. We got to get rid of it. We've got to go to them. And here's what we see in Scripture. Colossians 3 says, since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make the allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which bindeth all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule your hearts, for as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So here's a couple of questions. Don't answer these. These are just rhetorical. I wanted to give you a heads up because you guys are used to interacting with me. Anyway, are there people that when you see them, you duck behind the next aisle to avoid talking to them? Are there people that you get weird feelings about when you see them in the grocery store or in passing? Are there people that you've unfriended on Facebook or hate seeing their posts? And I'm saying these things because these are things that I've done. One time, Pastor Tony unfriended me for about a week. and he sent me a friend request, and I let it sit there for about another week. Anyway, maybe I need to go be reconciled. Jesus calls us to something higher, and that's called reconciliation. If we want to truly love people, we will desire to be reconciled with them. I'm not encouraging you to go back into unhealthy or dangerous situations. I'm just saying, as far as it depends on you, that you would be reconciled with those around you. Either let it go or love them enough to talk to them about it. Here's the next thing I want to encourage us to do is to humble ourselves. We're called to humble ourselves. Romans 12:3 says, don't think you are better than you really are, but be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. We don't want to have pride. We don't want to be thinking that other people are less than we are. We want to humble ourselves in our relationships. Here's our example. Jesus, Philippians chapter 2. This is Jesus. This is him as our example. Jesus says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. And being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Jesus is the example. Jesus had all the rights that he could possibly need or want. He is God in the flesh, and yet he humbles himself and becomes obedient to God, even to the point of death on a cross for you and I. He humbled himself. So we're called to humble ourselves in relationships, not be full of pride. Number three, I guess it is, I want to challenge you to serve. If there's relationships that there's tension, if there's maybe in your household, the scripture calls us to serve one another. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to serve you and me. We're called to serve other people. Here's a couple more specific ones. I wanted to give you some specifics. This is for husbands, Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church, and he gave his life for her. Husbands, you are called to love your wife. You're called to love your wife and lay your life down for her, just like Jesus did for us. Wives, Ephesians 5:22, wives, this means to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Another translation says respect. That women, you're called to respect. Well, he doesn't deserve respect. You're called to respect him, and he's called to love you. Your respect of him is not based upon his love toward you. Respect him because that's what Christ calls us to do. And husbands, love your wives. This goes to all of us. Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We're called to serve each other. We're called to have a heart and attitude of service toward each other, serving each other, surrendering to each other. This is a true statement. You are never more like Jesus than when you serve. Does that make sense? If you want to be like Jesus, serve. If you want to be like Jesus, pick up that towel and wash other people's feet. If you want to be like Jesus, lay down your preferences and your desires and surrender those to other people's desires. Well, I'm going to be a doormat if I do that. I just know what Scripture says, and it says to serve one another. If someone mistreats you or takes advantage of your servant's heart, that's on them, not you, right? We're called to serve one another. That's what we're called to do. Greater love has no one than this, Jesus says, than he lay down his life for his friends. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Brothers, love your siblings. Sisters, love your siblings, and so on and so forth. Sometimes in our household, we've got three little girls, like I told you about, and they're great kids, nine years old, six, and four. And sometimes, though, the bickering and the whining, complaining, is my house any different or normal than, is it your guys' houses like those of you who have young kids? Okay, so sometimes, and this is maybe not the right way to handle it, sometimes I just tell them to knock it off. Like enough already. Like, okay, we got to press the reset button. Enough already. We've got to love each other and serve one another. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. The last thing I just want to encourage us with, and we'll wrap up, I just want to encourage us to be committed. This idea of loving one another is long-term. It's tough. Love is not easy. You know, love is not easy. I was thinking about this and how much easier it is to love people we don't know sometimes because we don't know all their stuff. It's like easy to love them, but is that really loving someone? Real love is when you know someone really well and you're still able to have grace and compassion and patience with them. Isn't that really love? If it's just, I'm going to love you, I don't even know you, but I love you, you know, you're a great person, that's easy. It's easy, but it's hard to really know someone and see their flaws and their junk and say, I'm going to love you anyway. That's love, right? That's love. I'm not sure what the other thing is, but that's love. So we're called to love one another, to bear with each other, to forgive each other's faults, and to strive to have the love of Christ toward each other. One last verse, Ephesians 5:15-18. Says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk on wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's talking about being wise. He's talking about being smart, and we're called to love one another. So I'm going to have the band come up. And the problem with messages like these is that, like I said, that, you know, God kind of, they're not always very pretty and constructed, okay? I don't have, like, any candy to hand out. I don't have, like, a closing funny story. I just have two questions, really, and these are the questions that you should be asking yourself all the time. Is as you've been hearing me talk, maybe God's been putting something on your heart, maybe he's been putting someone on your mind and your heart. The two questions that I would always encourage you to ask yourself, these are the most important questions you could possibly ask. Is number one, what is God saying to me? I want you to be thinking about that. Maybe God is putting things, he's giving you thoughts and ideas and impressions. He's convicting you. He's challenging you. So what is God saying to me? And then number two, What are you going to do about it? Those are the most important questions you could ever ask yourself anytime. What is God saying to me, and what am I going to do about it? Not very flowery, not very fluffy. I think you guys know what you need to do, right? We're called to love those around us. Husbands and wives, if you've got stuff going on, you need to deal with that and love each other. We're called to be different. And I just want to lastly say, as the band plays and as we wrap up, I just want to encourage you to lean on Christ. Jesus is the center of it all. Like he's the one we live for. He's the one who died to forgive us of our sin. He's the one who changes our hearts. Lean on Christ and allow him to change you and make you different. Don't try to do it on your own, but lean and rest on him for the change. We're going to pray. And if you feel like you want to come forward to pray, this is always open to do that. You respond how you feel led to respond. Maybe you need to jot somebody's name down. Maybe you've got a past relationship. Maybe you've been harboring something. Maybe there's someone you need to go and friend again on Facebook. I don't know what it is. But that's my challenge today. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together today as a church. And I pray that you would use, you know, what you placed on my heart today to speak to us. I don't know if it's for me. I don't know if it's for one person here. I don't know if it's for all of us. I don't know what's going on. I just know very strongly, God, that you want us to talk about this today. I know that you have the heart of a loving Father. You never ask us to do anything that's for our bad, but for our good. You want us to clean out the junk so that we can experience your love, so that we can appropriately love those around us. How can we love those around us outside of our family and friends and other Christians if we can't love those people, if we can't love those closest to us? If I can't treat my wife with love and tenderness and gentleness, if I've got things that are holding me back, God, I pray that you'd show those to us. And I pray that as we take these steps, that you'd give us that freedom that we experience when we obey you. God, that you'd work. And I pray that our love would overflow like a river, like crazy, to those around us. I pray that that people in the community would see Evident Church and go, man, that's a very loving group. They love each other, and they love us. I pray that as we go and walk through the parade, that people would just know and they'd feel that love. I pray as we go and serve here next weekend, that love would be very clear as well. We love you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're gonna sing a song and close. We're going to collect the offering. And I just trust that you'll respond how God's calling you to respond. Maybe that's going this afternoon and talking to somebody. Maybe that's coming up to repent. Maybe that's, I don't know what it is. We'll leave it there. All right, we're going to collect the offering now.